This is News Talk.
We'll begin with the Irish Independent. Trish mentioning there about restrictions and the Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID-19 meeting later. Well, the Irish Independent says that there's going to be no further easing of restrictions until the end of September. And this is to allow schools and colleges to return to classrooms. The government is drafting a new plan for fully reopening the country, which is going to be published at the end of this month. However, the majority of existing restrictions are expected to stay in place until at least the end of September. Apparently, Taoiseach Micheál Martin wants to see schools and colleges return, see how that goes, make sure that's successful before making significant changes to social distancing rules. So confirmations and communions will be allowed next month, but it's unlikely indoor live entertainment will be given the green light to resume, which obviously is not music to the ears of those involved in that industry. But they are going to get a roadmap for the sector. That's likely to be published, and a series of pilots for indoor arts events will be held. So the meeting taking place today, I presume they'll get a dire enough warning from Dr. Tony Houlihan, because if you look at the Irish Times this morning, the peak of the current COVID-19 wave is expected to come later than anticipated, senior officials have been told, raising concerns over the reopening of the live entertainment sector. I mean, if you see this on the front of the Irish Independent and you see it on the front of the Irish Times, you can pretty much guarantee that the live entertainment sector ain't going to reopen sort of at the start of September, because already the leaks have begun and it looks like it'll be the end of September. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Tony Houlihan yesterday telling a group of government officials and political aides that he was concerned by the pandemic scenario at present, and the current wave is likely to peak later than we originally thought, and that could be not until the end of next month. And obviously they'd be worried then about what impact that would have on the healthcare system. The Irish Daily Mail, its main story is about Afghanistan. It's the only story actually on the front page. Take pity on these people. A young boy cannot hold back tears. They have a really sad photograph of this young boy as the Taliban carries out brutal beatings on the streets of Kabul. And now many ask, is 150 refugees from this hellhole really all we can take? That's on the front of the Mail. Church leaders have backed calls by human rights groups for Ireland to take at least 1,000 refugees rather than 150. Human rights groups have said that the 150 just is not enough, and really we should be looking at over 1,000. 12 organisations, including the Irish Refugee Council, the Immigrant Council of Ireland and Amnesty International, have written to the government calling for Ireland to commit to the resettlement of at least 1,000 refugees fleeing Afghanistan. I think that is a call that's going to grow and grow as more images emerge from Afghanistan and the fear that people are living under there. The Irish Examiner goes with housing on the front page, and it talks about the Help to Buy scheme and enhancing the Help to Buy scheme or introducing other incentives for first-time buyers could result in the already hot housing market boiling over into panic buying. Austin Hughes from KBC Bank has done some research into the housing market, and it shows that many consumers were already expecting steep house price increases over the coming years, and many consumers expected house prices will rise faster in the next 3 years than in recent years. And the warning is that if you introduce all these schemes for first-time buyers, that the market would heat up. First-time buyers, of course, would say, well, we need something to help us. We need to be able to buy property here. So wait and see. Also on the front of the Irish Examiner, they go with the sad, tragic news yesterday that the founder of Inner City Helping Homeless and Dublin City Councillor Anthony Flynn has died in tragic circumstances. We'll have more on this on News Talk Breakfast. Anthony Flynn, 35 years of age, Gardaí investigating all the circumstances following the discovery of his body there. And that is in all, pretty much all of the papers this morning, but it's on the Examiner front page. The Irish Independent tells us that there's big changes coming for the state exams next year, all because of COVID. Leaving Cert students are going to be offered more choice on their written papers next year, because of all of the disruption to education. The Department of Education has released a subject-by-subject breakdown of the adjustments being made for the upcoming academic year. The Leaving Cert exam changes involve more choice on the written papers, while for subjects where the State Examinations Commission issues project briefs, the intention is to generally issue these at least 4 weeks earlier than normal. So it seems like they're trying to make things a little bit more, not easy, but more accommodating for the Leaving Cert students, given the disruption that they faced. Now, the changes aren't as dramatic as those introduced for the 2021 exams, because incoming sixth years did not suffer the same level of interruption in senior cycle as the class of 2021. But those changes coming in for the Leaving Cert next year, and indeed, I should say, for the Junior Cert as well. The Irish Times has an interesting report. It's one thing that annoys so many people, which is dog dirt on the streets. And some people in some areas just say that it's got out of control. But there was a big pilot in Galway, and the results of that have now been published. Galway City Council says that the level of dog fouling in former black spots has fallen by more than 50% after a big trial there. This is great news, and you would assume it'll come into other areas as well. So what they did in Galway City was they put up anti-excrement messages on the ground and dog waste being highlighted with spray paint. The local authorities Clean It Up, I love the name of this, it's the Clean It Up You Dirty Pup initiative, ran across three different areas of the city, and basically it's done really, really well. The trial initiative started early this summer when the council began to spray paint stencil messages in areas where dog fouling was reported as a problem, and volunteers in the area sprayed excrement with fluorescent pink to highlight the issue as part of the 3-month trial. And as a result, the levels of dog fouling down 50%. Sometimes it's just calling it out, really, isn't it? That's how you solve these problems. Now, the Mail this morning has a fascinating report into yogurts, or yogurt, if you're very posh, for children. And I think this will put the fear of God into some parents about the sugar content. So we're told that yogurt, I'm going to say yogurt, I know some of you say yogurt, so you just have to bear with me. Anyway, yogurt may be seen as a healthy option, but just 1 in 20 pots, which are marketed as child-friendly, contain appropriate levels of sugar. One brand contained as much sugar in a tiny little pot of yogurt as 16 biscuits, and nearly 2 in 3 pots provided at least a third of a 4 to 6-year-old's recommended daily intake in a single serving. Campaigners say claims about calcium and vitamin D distract parents from scrutinising nutrition labels. And you know, you'd feel sorry for parents here, because they think they're trying their best. There's going to be a big report on News Talk Breakfast about parents who get so worried and anxious about making sure their child's lunchbox is healthy. I'm sure some of them will throw in yogurt and think that they're doing well, you know, providing all these vitamins, and maybe you don't look at the sugar content. Experts analysed 100 brands featuring bright packaging or cartoons, all, of course, to target youngsters. And Nestle's Rolo mix-in toffee yogurt contained 22 grams of sugar per serving. That's the equivalent of 5.5 teaspoons of sugar, or eating 16 malted milk biscuits. It's all in the Mail this morning. You can read more about that. What else do we have for you? Oh yes, very interesting report here from the Times of London about referees. And I saw a lot of the abuse the referee got in the Dublin Mayo game over the weekend. But anyway, this is to do with soccer matches, and they've looked into the mind of the referee, and it turns out that referees struggle to resist being swayed by partisan crowds. So when spectators were absent during lockdown, officials were significantly tougher on home sides. The chances of the home team being given a yellow card for foul play increased by 26% compared to matches where crowds were present. Now, this would show the advantage of having a home game, of playing at home, because if the referee is in any way swayed, I'm sure every referee will say, absolutely, I'm not swayed, but the research would beg to differ. The number of yellow cards given to visiting players was virtually unchanged. So it really shows home advantage here, that the referee, under pressure from the home crowd, likely to be slightly more favourable towards the local team there. So there'll be a lot of people will have views on that, given some of the refereeing decisions we've seen in recent times. Anyway, that's our look at the morning papers.
On 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com. This is News Talk.